The Wintrust Business Lunch. You're listening to WGN Radio. Thank you for that. We'll be here on the Biz Lunch until 1 o'clock. Anna DeVlanta show after that. Weather coming our way. Listen to us through the afternoon, including Chicago's Afternoon News with Steve Bertrand. And we'll keep you posted on where the snow is, how much. But we're guessing, heck, we're saying 4 to 8 inches starting most vigorously at 8 o'clock tonight, but coming your way about the time Anna hands off to Steve, 3, 4 o'clock this afternoon. Here on WGN Radio, Elise Glink joins us on the Business Lunch to start the show today. Visit Think Glink for the real estate and financial wellness expert. Hi, Elise. Welcome back.
Hey, thank you, John. Nice to be here.
Everybody continues to scratch their heads about what the new Biden administration will mean for them. And one of the big buzz topics continues to be the student loan payment freeze. What are you hearing about that today?
Well, President Biden just directed the Department of Education to extend the payment pause for federal student loan borrowers until at least October. So this is awesome news for anybody who has a federally backed student loan.
Right. So you don't have to pay. So forbearance, in other words, right?
It is. It's a continuation of forbearance. We'll give everybody a full year, almost a year and a half pause. 42 million student loan borrowers have been given basically a break from making monthly payments.
Doesn't change the total you owe, though, right? The interest doesn't accrue, but it's not like they're forgiving a year's payments. They're just putting it on the back end, if I'm not mistaken.
They are just, it's a, just a pause, as if the year had never happened.
Right.
So your loan would be extended out for the amount that this has gone on. Now, it's 0% debt right now, right? So you're getting a interest-free loan, and what you could be doing is if you can make those payments, if you are making them, they're going to go a long way towards getting your loan paid off a lot faster.
I guess that's the question. So however much money you do or do not have, should you then attack that principal right now, or should you save it? What are financial experts saying?
Well, they're saying if you've got the cash, this is a great place to put it, right? Because student loans, whenever you prepay a debt, right, whether it's your mortgage, your car loan, or student loans, when you prepay, meaning that you advance the schedule, what you're actually doing is earning the amount of interest that the loan is carrying,
right?
So you have that, right? Like a loan, if it has 8%, if your student loan is carrying an 8% debt, if you prepay a dollar, that dollar has effectively earned you 8%.
And if I put it in savings, I'm getting 0.1%. So it's actually a better investment paying off that
debt. It is. Absolutely. And the same goes true for, you know, car loans, for mortgages, any non-deductible debt. This is a really good thing to do. And so when the interest rate is zero, that means every single dollar you pay is going to pay off that loan. And since student loans are amortized at a 10-year rate, the first 5 years are really the most interest heavy. It's like with any loan, really. But, you know, the faster that you can make a difference in getting that principal paid down, the less you're going to pay overall for the cost of that loan.
If you owe less than $10,000, though, you might be thinking about saving that money and hoping that the government wipes that debt out. What's your guess on that? What do you think is going to happen?
It's interesting. I don't know how quickly Biden is going to get around to that, and I also don't know who's going to qualify. I don't know if it's going to be everybody or people who are just teachers and firefighters and public servant officials. It's really hard to know at this point. There's been no chatter about it that I've seen at all. But in the meantime, getting your debt paid off is always a good thing.
I was driving around Michigan a little bit this on Sunday. Brenda and I just went over and drove back. Sometimes we get out of the box, as we say, and take a trip. And we were kind of driving around neighborhoods, and we noticed that real estate in Southwest Michigan is really hot these days. I mean, really interesting. I want to talk to you a little bit about real estate there and, of course, here in the Chicagoland area as well. What's going on, Elise Glink? This is the Wintrust Business Lunch on WGN Radio. Elise Glinka is our guest, the real estate and financial wellness expert. Her book is 100 Questions Every First-Time Home Buyer Should Ask. I'll ask, how much have home values gone up in the last quarter? I think you saw something about that, right, Elise?
Well, home values are breaking new records. In fact, 2020 was the best year for existing home sales since 2006. I mean, think about that. That is a long time, 15 years, especially in a place like Chicago where we have lagged the overall market. But what we're seeing, John, is that home values are growing at least in their fastest pace in over 20 years. There's no sign of slowing down. And home construction, so new home building, was absolutely robust is the only way that experts are describing it. So in a typical U.S. home last year was worth $266,104, up 8.4% from a year ago. And home values grew over 3% in the fourth quarter of 2020 alone, which is the fastest quarter of growth since at least 1996.
Typical home is worth $266,000. That's up 8%. 10% would be $26,000, so a little over $20,000, I guess, the value of a home went up last year. The average home increased in value a little more than $20,000 last year.
Yep, that's exactly right. I mean, it's really kind of crazy.
And in Chicago as well.
Chicago went up not quite as much as that. Now, I think the numbers that I saw for Chicago, that it was up somewhere between 4 and 6%, depending on the area you lived in. But people did start to enjoy that. Now, it's not evenly dispersed, John. I want to be really clear about that, because if you own, let's say, a two-bedroom, two-bath condo in downtown Chicago, you're not actually seeing that sort of growth. In fact, you're going to be lucky if you get away with not losing money, or if you're losing not a lot of money, because there's a lot on the market in that. But if you live on the North Shore, in the western suburbs, in a single-family house with a patch of green to call your own, you actually are seeing extremely strong growth in home sales and in home price appreciation.
I guess that's what is going on when Brenda and I drive around Southwest Michigan, too. Randomly, three people told me they drive around Southwest Michigan looking for a place. They're not looking into the suburbs of Chicago. They're looking on the other side of the lake. They might commute. It might be a second home. But there's this exodus to Southwest Michigan, and those people there are the beneficiaries. Homes move very quickly.
They do, and their prices are very high. And it's a different, you know, there are a lot of people looking in other places. We're seeing an exodus of people from Illinois to places like Florida. We've always seen that, but we're seeing more. We're also seeing people leave to go to North Carolina, to Georgia, to Texas. And so there's definitely an exodus, a continuation of the exodus over the last few years from the state of Illinois to places where taxes are low, and in many cases, property prices are lower as well than they are here in Chicago.
Well, you were telling us about how these values are going up, even in Chicago, with the exception of maybe downtown, but why? What's driving all of this?
Well, there's just not enough houses out there. So I went back and forth with the chief economist of the National Association of Realtors on Friday when they released their latest report. And he basically said that we are missing about 6 million new homes in the United States right now. It's pretty evenly dispersed among all of the major metropolitan areas. And the 6 million homes should have been built from like 10 years ago. But what happened 10 years ago in the Great Recession is home builders basically went out of business, and the biggest home builders started to merge just in order to survive. And, you know, when you look at the numbers, in a typical year, the country should be building at least 1 million new homes, 1 million to 1.5 million. That's what happened this year. The numbers were like 1.6 million of starts. But if you look at what happened back in 2010, 11, 12, 13, 14, and even into 15, we only built between 320,000 homes, 320,000 homes at the low, and around 660,000 homes in the high between those years. Not the 1 million to 1.5 million we should have been building. Well, those numbers add up. All those missing homes have added up to about 6 million homes that should have been built for, you know, households in the U.S. They were never built. And so we have a real shortage of homes right now. In fact, If no new homes came on the market, all of the homes would be sopped up by buyers within 2 months. It's the lowest number of homes for sale since they've been keeping records, John. And it's really great for sellers. It's going to get very, very tough for buyers.
Well, I guess that's good news for home builders, the local guy or maybe some of those big national home building chains, right?
Yeah, it's great news for them. I mean, but it takes a while. And what people don't realize is how long it takes to actually build a condo building or build a big subdivision, right? And just to give you a little hint, developers talk about being a 10-year overnight success story with a development because that's about how long it can take, anywhere from between 6 and 10 years, to assemble the land, buy it, get the zoning conversions done, hire an architect, design the amenities, get it approved by the local authorities, start to build your model, develop the materials, hire your team, and then you're now going to start selling off the plans. And your builder, your financing as a builder doesn't really come until a certain percentage of the development is sold. And so that's all that has to go on, and you can imagine how long that takes. And so a lot of these developments that would have been started for, like, say, 11, 12, 13, in 2013, they didn't get off the ground until maybe 2017, 18, and 19. And so that's why we are going to have a few more years of a very strong seller's market, I think.
Makes you also appreciate the gamble that lenders and developers take, because by that time, maybe people will be coming back downtown. Maybe the, building that you were doing in Will County and Kendall County, God bless you, but maybe actually people do want to be in those beautiful condos in the city overlooking the lake. Who knows what's going to happen in 3 years?
Yeah, well, to your point, it's a high-risk business. I will say that mortgage interest rates, which popped up a bit last week, have come back down again, and this is really the other thing that's fueling it. I know somebody who just got a 30-year mortgage for one of those two-bedroom, two-bath condos I talked about, and he qualified for 2.6 and change this morning, 2.6% interest on a 30-year fixed-rate loan. And I have to just say that that just is an astonishingly good rate.
Yeah. I was diddling around with one of those myself the other day, and if you go from 2.6 to 3.2, say take it up a half percent or a little bit more, I missed the boat. Now I'm paying 3.6. Say you go in a whole percentage point. It actually doesn't – you can – that is still a great value. That is still borrowing money cheap. I want to talk about some stocks that are in the news today. GameStop, I'm now reading from CNBC.com. Shares of the retailer surged more than 50% and were halted for volatility several times as the short squeeze and heavy buying from individual traders continued. Bed Bath & Beyond and AMC Entertainment, shares of both stocks surged 13 and 29% today. Carnival Corporation, the cruise operator, slid more than 6%. The boats are still in the dock waiting to sail. We're all anxious and even optimistic, but they ain't sailing yet, and the stocks slid. And I'll give you one other. Apple, the consumer tech giant, rose more than 2% after Wedbush raised its price target on the stock to a new street high of $175 a share. What are you thinking about when you hear some of those headlines?
I think it's kind of interesting. GameStop is really, if you invested in GameStop, you're doing pretty well. I mean, they were up 100% earlier in the session. It's unclear to me what's driving that. To me, this is a bunch of short sellers or people who are buying into GameStop. It's a little bit hard. That's a kind of a smaller, more volatile thing. Bed Bath & Beyond is interesting. That's, I would classify that in the retail sector, obviously. And, and yet people are home and they're working from home. And so they may be benefiting from the new trend that's being discussed of, will your office workers ever come back to the office? And I think the people are seeing stronger sales there. Carnival, we've talked about this before, John. Until you actually get on a boat and you feel like you're not going to die, or be worse, be trapped on the boat for weeks on end, I think that part of the hospitality industry is really going to suffer.
Probably a lot of people want to travel. I'm one of them, but they want you to go first. You go first. You go to You go to Europe, you go to the Mediterranean, the Caribbean, or wherever, come back, and then once a few of you do that, then I'll be ready to go. I suspect that must be part of what people are doing right now.
I think so, John. I do want to say, though, that there's a light at the end of this tunnel. My mother got her first half of the vaccine over the weekend. She's in her mid-80s, and she has some of the problems that they're looking, you know, they were wanting people to get vaccinated. She got it, and the first thing she did was call my sisters to say that she's decided we should all go on a big family trip later this year. So I just want to say it's out there, and we're all going to get there hopefully sooner rather than later.
I plug my Kelly Cruises and tours trips whenever I can, and I guess this is an opportunity for me to do that. We're supposed to go October 7th. We are going to October 7th to the Rhine River, up and down the Rhine River in Central Europe for a week, October 7th to the 14th. It's kellycruises.com. And I think what is really going to compel people to feel good about it is the vaccine, is what your mom just did. You know, I would have felt good about it generally anyway, but shoot, if everybody on the boat's got the shot, and it's quite possible they will by then, why not go on a cruise? You've been waiting for a year. So.
Yeah, I think everybody's going to go out and they're going to celebrate. So really, if you can get your shot, you should go out and go do it.
Nice to talk to you. Nice to hear you. Nice to read you. Thanks, Elise.
You bet, John.
Visit thinkglink.com. That's Elise Glink. Okay, let's continue on the Wintrust Business Lunch now. Joining us is Catherine Davis, Associate Editor at ChicagoInno.com. Hi, Catherine. Welcome to the show.
Hi, John. How are you?
Pretty good. You've got two stories of interest for us today. Which one do you want to start with? One is something we hear a lot about, food delivery and services, a very crowded space. And then there's also the bizarre story about guard llama. Where should we begin today?
Let's start with the guard llama drama.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's one of the most interesting stories that I've reported in a while. And it really centers around a local startup that was making a key fob-like device that called the police in an emergency. So, you know, picture this being like a life alert device, but instead of calling an ambulance, it calls the police for you. So this, you know, company launched in Chicago in 2015. And in 2017, they were on an episode of Shark Tank, at which point they really took off. They got an investment offer from Barbara Corcoran on the episode. And, you know, from there, we're looking pretty promising. But around 2018, things, you know, there were signs of trouble. There were many customers who were complaining to the Better Business Bureau that the device wasn't working for them, so it wasn't actually calling the authorities. And, you know, second, that they were unable to terminate subscriptions once they discovered that the device wasn't working or, you know, just sort of naturally didn't want to pay for it anymore. So, you know, through my reporting, I found that, you know, these complaints were credible. I interviewed, you know, several former customers who took as long as a year to cut off their subscriptions with Guard Llama. And, you know, on top of all that, which sort of could explain why the company was going through such turbulent times, is related to the fact that the founder was charged and arrested at the end of 2019 for drug trafficking, about $80,000 worth of drugs.
This is a Chicago startup. Joseph Parisi is the guy you're talking about. I read your story. I guess a red flag would have been when they were on Shark Tank, and he's there with the guard llama mascot, which is a big llama. They actually brought in, and it would be great fun, great drama, great, very cool. Bring in an actual llama and have the llama stand there while you're making the pitch to the Shark Tank executives. What happened when they did that?
Yeah, so kind of awkward, but the llama actually defecated on stage during the episode. You know, you can go watch this online, and they don't show everything, but they, you know, you understand what's going on, and it's kind of funny. And, you know, one of the investors is kind of like, how do you think your pitch is going?
Yeah.
This doesn't seem like it's going that well. And it's sort of a funny moment.
Too bad, though. I mean, it sounds like a good idea. So maybe on a fob, like your keys, maybe you'd wear it as a lanyard, but you've got a little button, you hit it twice, and then it contacts them, and they immediately contact the police, and they'll find out geo-position where you are. And now they're on the way. So maybe you don't have time to dial 911 and have a conversation. You just go boop, boop, and now the cops are rolling. Good idea. $179 a year. It just wasn't working, though. I mean, whatever the drug problems were not with the founder. It sounds like the device just didn't function all the time.
Right, exactly. You know, I talked to several people who were like, you know, it just became clear that this you know, device wasn't calling anybody. You would hit the button and expect to be hearing from the guard llama dispatchers, and they would confirm that you were indeed in danger. You know, they were trying to prevent false alarms. But these people I talked to said that never happened. And, you know, they just went to try to go cancel it and were unable to. One lady told me that, you know, she couldn't get guard llama to stop charging her credit card. So she had to cancel the entire card and switch to a new bank just to stop, you know, getting these subscription dues coming out of her account. So it was really frustrating for a lot of people. I mean, even now there's more than 50 complaints filed with the Better Business Bureau. You know, there's evidence out there that this was, you know, a long-running issue for people with guard llama.
I guess this is, you know, as much as we talk about innovative Chicago companies, these startups, it's not always a home run for the investors. You know, we're always talking about how swell things go, but something like this could happen, and you ain't going to get your money back if the company's bankrupt or if the owner's in jail, maybe.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, there were some Chicago investors that, you know, gave money to guard llama. And, you know, from my understanding, obviously haven't made a return because this company seems, you know, to have gone out of business. You know, it's really peculiar because I was trying to get in touch with the founder for the last year, you know, just trying to find out what happened. What are you doing? Is this company still operating? And it's been, you know, pretty much radio silence. But all indicators point to that this company is, you know, shut down. And if anything, is sort of running a scam at this point, charging people for a service it's not providing.
It's called Guard Llama. It sounds a little bit like OnStar, too, right? Wasn't that the service that Chevrolet had? And if you were in a crash, it would immediately trigger a call to a call center. They would reach out to you. And if you had a problem, they would then roll EMTs or police. My sister-in-law was in a crash, rendered briefly unconscious when her car hit something. And you know what she woke to? The sound of a voice coming out of her dashboard saying, "Becky, are you okay?" And it was somebody in Detroit at a call center reaching out to her. She said, "I'm not." They said, "We'll send an ambulance." I mean, it worked in that case. It could work. Okay, so that's the story of Guard Llama. Let's talk a little bit about, is it Factor 75? Yeah.
Yeah, so Factor 75 is a cooler Chicago startup story. You know, they were a startup founded in 2013 making fully prepared meals that would be delivered to your home, you know. So this is not coming from a restaurant. And this isn't a meal kit delivery like, you know, like Blue Apron or something where once you get it, you have to prepare it yourself.
Right.
Factor 75 specializes in delivering you meals that, like, you only have to put in the oven or the microwave, right? There's really no other prep associated with it. And they were acquired late last year by HelloFresh, and now it looks like they're expanding. So, you know, they were in the news last week because they're opening a new production facility in Aurora. They've already got 200 employees out there and making 200,000 meals a week. So pretty big operation for, you know, a startup that's now really turning into a sort of a corporate giant with the help of HelloFresh.
Wow. You know, for all those restaurants that are thinking, oh, good, we're going to open up again, a whole new industry has exploded in the last 9 months. Not that it wasn't there before, but people cooking at home or buying ready-to-prepare meals has sure exploded in the last year, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, in food delivery, you know, from restaurants as well, and DoorDash and Grubhub are, you know, sort of seeing new records.
Yeah, yeah. And she, although at least those are restaurants preparing the meals, but the industry has sure changed. We'll continue to follow this. On WGN, Catherine Davis is an associate editor at Chicago Inno. Okay, Catherine, we'll talk next week. Thanks for your time today.
Thanks, John.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. You're listening to WGN. Back in the newsroom now, this is Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Rate cuts are happening at Allstate. The company says it's cutting auto insurance rates in several states, including Illinois. The move matches State Farm and other companies who've responded to the pandemic with lower prices. Allstate will reduce auto rates in Illinois by 5%, effective February 18th. The pandemic has caused miles driven to drop, and that's led to higher profits because insurers are paying less in claims compared to normal conditions. Some business news happening here at home. WGN America is changing its name to News Nation and expanding its news programming to 5 hours on weeknights. The WGN Cable Network's live newscast News Nation is being renamed News Nation Prime and will air from 7 to 9 p.m. News Nation Early Edition will air at 5 p.m. and the Donlan Report will air at 6 p.m. Chicago time. An hour-long news and talk show called Banfield runs at 9 p.m. The extended news programming begins March 1st. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Amy Guth joins us on the Wintrust Business Lunch now to talk about all kinds of news. Hi, Amy. Welcome back.
Hi, John. How are you?
Good. I heard in passing, maybe you can fill me in a little more detail, the fact that Target has been giving bonuses and gave another one, right?
Yeah, that's right. So Target is going to spend $200 million for another round of bonuses for workers. That is their fifth round of bonus. They're also going to be extending their coronavirus-related benefits. That's stay-home pay if a worker needs to quarantine or care for a family member who is sick, something like that. But they're going to give $500 bonuses to all hourly workers and $1,000 to $2,000 bonuses to those in leadership roles in the stores, like managers and things like that. And this is all, you know, they're citing a really strong holiday shopping season with, you know, even though a lot more people shopped online, they saw their e-commerce numbers nearly double this season, the shopping season. So they're in a position to be able to do that. Some of the, you know, most of the big box stores did really well, even Home Depots and Lowe's and things like that, because people were kind of tackling these home projects rather than bringing in an outside person to fix them for them. Or they were saying, hey, now I have time to do that. And so stores where you could kind of just maybe expose yourself to risk one time and pick up all the things you needed, like Targets and Walmarts, did really well. So they're in a position to be able to do this for their workers. They also said that they are accelerating plans to raise their starting wages to $15 an hour in July. So they're going to be stepping that up. That those plans had been in the work, but they said they're going to be doing that a little sooner than planned. But Target shares are up about 66% in the past year, so it's brought the market value to just over $96 billion. So again, Target's kind of in a position to be able to do this, which is, you know, I'm sure a great relief to a lot of workers and managers in Target stores.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that for them and just for all of us. That just sounds like good corporate citizenship if they can
right.
do it. Budweiser's not going to be in the Super Bowl, huh?
Yeah, for the first time in 37 years. So that's a, you know, it's going, those Budweiser ads, it usually features the big Clydesdales and usually a dog somewhere interacting with the horses.
Right.
They're not going to be in that in-game advertising spot, which is a very expensive, highly coveted, big, big, visible place. You know, Super Bowl ads this time of year, we start taking a look at all of them. They won't be completely absent, though. There is going to be an online ad. It's going to be a voiceover from actress Rashida Jones, and it's going to show a lot of frontline workers and healthcare workers getting the vaccine, things like that. But what they've said is they want to reallocate some of these marketing dollars instead of paying the, you know, these big, big bucks for Super Bowl ads. They're going to instead be putting that into vaccine awareness campaigns and vaccine access campaigns. So we are going to see them. They will be they will have a presence. We'll see the ad make the round online, but they won't so much be in that big in-game spot. Pepsi and Coke are doing the same. Of course, you and I have talked about how Coke has been really impacted by not having things like stadiums and restaurants open in order to serve their product. So both of those have suffered, Coke more so than Pepsi. But Pepsi's other brands will be present. So that's Frito-Lay and Mountain Dew. We will see ads during the game from both of those brands. But that big Pepsi ad, Pepsi has really kind of moved their efforts, so you'll see their name during the halftime show, but the in-game ads are really kind of where those high dollar yeah. marks are, and we're seeing these big brands kind of pulling back. Of course, that makes the way, that kind of paves the way for a lot of new brands, so we'll see how that shakes out.
Yeah, maybe somebody else takes those slots. Listen, I think it's real nice what they're doing, but if a company wants to spend a lot of money and advertise on the Super Bowl, a lot of folks watch and bicker about those commercials. It's part of the game. So I hope we don't lose the big, creative, fun, even controversial commercials. Coca-Cola is in the news today, too. What's their new product?
Yeah, so another note on Coke, and that is available today is Coke with coffee. This has been available internationally for a few years. If you remember back in about 2006, they had Coca-Cola Black, which was a coffee-flavored Coke. It was considered a big flop, and within 2 years, they pulled it off the shelf and went away from that. So then about 2-3 years ago, they piloted Coke with coffee in Japan, worked out some kinks, and now it's been available in 30 markets. So Italy has it, Vietnam has it, Australia has it, and they are launching today here in the U.S. They have a couple of different flavors. So there's like a vanilla, there's a caramel, and then there's a dark blend, and then there's also a calorie-free, zero-sugar version of that. And as they have explained it, it has half as much caffeine as a 12-ounce cup of coffee, but far more caffeine than what is in a can of Coke. So it's kind of the middle ground there between, you know, a Coke and a coffee, I suppose. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, we wonder if you serve that cold or hot.
They're cold. They're refrigerated. So I can't really quite get my head around what that tastes like. But as it exists in 30 other markets, it seems like they've worked out the details. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, the Coca-Cola Black, I think, left, no pun intended, a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths.
I knew you were going to say that. And I caffeinated or carbonated, I suppose, huh?
Yeah.
The bubbles?
Yeah. Carbonate. And like, I can't quite imagine what those two flavors are like together, but they're, you know, by looking at the cans, and I haven't tried this product yet, but by looking at the cans, it certainly seems like they're going for a little bit higher end branding on it. It looks kind of that, the Coca-Cola logo, classic as ever, but it looks kind of on par with maybe like the Starbucks products that you see in refrigerated sections of beverage areas. It kind of looks like that. So we'll see how this does, but it's available today for everyone to try.
Coke with coffee is finally here. Amy Guth is too. We'll visit again soon. Thanks, Amy.
Thanks so much, John.